here. He just went left. He's got it on.
Oh, he does.
I could smell it about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah,
I think it's something from the vent.
Yeah,
it probably seems to be dissipating a little bit. It was really strong at first.
Greetings, everyone, all those who are here. Thank you for being with us. A little bit of a slight delay, but thank God Sam just made it in. We're just getting a phone put in next door, so it's been kind of a hectic thing. So bear with us, if you will. And I'd just like to go ahead and start by praying, but I want to thank all those who are online who are here and all those who are here. And why don't we just go ahead and pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you now, Lord, for all your mercy, your grace, oh God, your truth, your forbearance. Lord, for all that you're doing, the things that you want to teach us, show us, and lead us into, Lord God. Oftentimes, Lord, I know that we take the wrong road, or we take the rocky road, or we take a road that, Lord, you told us not to go on to, but you are so gracious and merciful, Lord, to get us back on the one road, the right road. We thank you, Father God, for that narrow road. Though it be difficult, yet it is the straightest way to heaven. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing now in the hearts and minds of all those who are online, who would listen into this message later, and for those who are here, Lord God. Oh, that you would move on us tonight, Lord God, that you would speak through your word, that you would teach us, lead us, and guide us. I pray that you would use Sister Shirley, oh Lord God, tonight to do a mighty work and to expound on the word of God. We thank you, oh Lord God, and we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Tim, could you just smell this once for me?
Downstairs. I'll check it out. Yeah, praise God. So we're gonna go ahead now and sing a song, and we're just gonna believe God for all things to work out for His glory, His honor, His praise, and give everything over in His hands that we cannot control. Amen? All those things that come about us daily. And I think the Lord would want us to rest in Him. I think the Lord would want us to go to Him and put our faith, our hope, our trust, and our confidence and what He's able to do in our lives.
Praise you, Lord.
Because certainly we can do nothing apart from Him anyways. And why even try? Right? Why even try? We give everything over to the Lord in His sovereign hand to lead, guide, and direct us every step of the way. And praise God. Just bear with us tonight. We're just kind of going through a few things here. Thank you for bearing with us as we get through this song service tonight. Amen. Praise God. What we'll do now is the first thing we'll probably do tonight. Here's a song. That I'm looking for. Bear with me.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
In the garden. We're going to sing that song, In the Garden, number 49 in the hymn book tonight to start out. Number 49 in the hymn book, In the Garden. And we'll begin that now. Thank God for all that He's doing. Praise God for that time alone with Him. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bid me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Glory to God. Praise God. Okay, thank you. Thank you, sister. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank
Praise
you.
God.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, the devil likes to send smoke signals, doesn't he?
Oh, praise you.
Oh, but we have that victory and peace and joy and comfort and knowledge and understanding that the Lord gives us in times of worry and fret, in times of uncertainties throughout the whole world. So much confusion out there today. So many people looking upon the things that are coming upon the earth. And it's a hard thing too. Yet nonetheless, the Lord would want us to look to Him, wouldn't He? In spite of it all. To not be caught up and caught away and all the things, all the the way that the devil blows his hot air to try to put fear upon your heart, to try to cause you to lose your focus on the Lord. He wants you to look upon your troubles. But you see, the Lord, oftentimes, when He told Moses, and He said to them, "Why ye refuse to keep the Sabbath day?" Because you see, the people wanted something. They wanted something to go after that God told them not to. If we just keep our eyes on the Lord, we'll have all we ever need. That's in the Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
All the direction that we ever could hope for would be found in the Lord, in His leading and guiding, His direction. And every day is a day-by-day walk with God. The just shall live by faith. So we are to take each day, manna for today, not for tomorrow, but for today. Don't try to find something that you can greedily hoard, but rather go to God for fresh oil every day. The Israelites were a great example of all that. I'm not going to teach tonight. I'm just simply trying to make a point. That the Israelites went after, and they thought after, and they complained and they murmured. Because a month and a half into their journey out of Egypt, leaving Elim, that place, that oasis, all they could think about was to complain and accuse Moses and Joshua and Aaron of wanting to kill them in the wilderness. But yet, when we look to the wilderness, that's where the Lord leads us.
Praise you, Lord.
That's where He teaches us our lessons to learn in life. Amen? So why don't we sing that song, "We're Coming Out of Babylon," number 71 tonight in the chorus book, number 71. We're coming out of Babylon, and there's a reason for it. There's a reason why we sing that. When I was in boot camp, when I was in the military, the Navy, we had these boot camp songs. We had to march to that beat. We had to march to that. We had to raise that banner, that flag, for our troop company in boot camp. We had to walk in unison. If one was out of step, they were corrected. The Lord wants to do the same thing in our lives.
Thank you, Lord. Right.
We're to walk in unison of heart, together, as a mighty army, that we would uphold each other, encourage each other, strengthen each other, pray for each other, help each other. When we come out of Babylon, you no longer have the old garlics and leeks that the government can give you. But you walk by faith, and you trust God for your provision. Amen? So let's go there. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with a song in our hearts and a song down in our souls. We've taken our harps down from the willow tree, for the Lord our God has set us free, and we shall praise God for victory. And we magnify the Lord. Coming out of Babylon, we're coming out
of Babylon with the joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. We've taken our harps down from the willow tree, for the Lord our God has set us free, and we shall praise God for victory, and we magnify the Lord. That's something the Israelites had to learn the hard way. You can't magnify the Lord in your troubles and in your trials. Then you soon forget the blessings that God is trying to show them, trying to lead them into. And before you know it, that gives way to complaining. That gives way to murmuring, discord, and all manner of such a thing that causes rebellion in the hearts of every man and woman. And it's a abominable thing in the eyes of God when that sort of thing happens. Because what that's doing is that's slapping away the hand of mercy. God is trying to show them the way, trying to take the dross out of their lives, to refine them by fire, as it were. But yet there are so many people that don't want to pay the price. So many people that want to, they sit on their easy chair. But that's not God's way. We have to reach out. We have to reach out and touch the Lord before He will touch us.
That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right.
We have to reach out by faith.
Amen.
By prayer. By supplication. Sanctified hearts. By heart yielded to Him, forsaking all sin in our lives. So that when we forsake sin, we show that we are devoted to God.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, praise you, Jesus.
That we are faithful to Him. Amen.
Praise you, God.
So let's go there and sing number 76. Reach out and touch the Lord. Amen. In the chorus book. Reach out and touch the Lord. As He passes by, you will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. He will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, as He passes by.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God.
What a privilege, Jesus.
As He passes by.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord.
Elijah wanted to know what the Lord looked like. But he couldn't see the face of God and live, could he? But yet God was gracious enough to show His back to Elijah. Elijah was reaching out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him, revealed Himself. But no man can see God face to face and live until we get to heaven.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you.
Because you see, heaven is God. And God is heaven. Did you know that?
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Praise God. Where there would be no darkness and no disease, all tears would be wiped away forever.
Oh, praise you, Lord.
All tears would be wiped away forever.
Thank you, Jesus.
We'll have that joy, that peace, and that comfort. Oh, that truly passes all understanding. Amen. Why don't we sing that song, number 88 in the chorus? Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. Amen. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord, come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord, come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Oh, give God the glory, praise, and the honor. Oh, he's the bread of heaven. Amen. He's that manna from heaven. Amen. Praise God. That's the true bread of life.
Praise your name, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We can sing one more, perhaps, before we give way over to Shirley here tonight. Hoping we can just sing that one song that I like much. Number 39, Have Faith in God, in the chorus. A small itty-bitty chorus, but so nourishing. So much in it, because it talks about having faith in God and how He is able to deliver. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Why don't we sing that? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. One more time. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, you can have faith in God tonight too, if you wish.
Oh, we can come before you, Jesus. Oh, we can come before you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, God's no respecter of persons.
Praise me, Jesus.
He's looking for people of faith.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We're going to go ahead and take up a quick
offering now, or tithes and offerings. And if anybody has a need or request or a praiseworthy thing to mention or anything of that nature, prayer request, anyone from online or anyone here, please feel free so that we can bring that forth and give it to the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Okay, praise God. Well, the Lord is good. The Lord is mighty to save, mighty to heal, and mighty to deliver.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
He can do all things right, good, and well. Nothing is too hard for Him. So let us thank God tonight. Let us come receiving the Word of God and give God the glory, the praise, and the honor. Oh Lord God in heaven, we thank You for these tithes, gifts, and offerings, praying, oh Lord, now that You would bless the giver abundantly, oh Lord God. Oh, that You would help us, Lord Jesus, to continue to be good stewards of what You bring to this ministry, Lord God, be it tithes, gifts, or offerings, or otherwise. Lord, help us to be good stewards with all that You give us, to be faithful. In Jesus' name, under the blood we pray. Amen. Okay, Sister Shirley is going to make her way up here now, and Lord, put something on her heart to share tonight. Praise God. Amen. So, give God the glory tonight now. Give Him all the praise. And trust in Him to lead you. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know it's a busy night. We have my girls over at the processing center trying to get the newsletter done. We just had a rush to do it all day long. Yesterday it was my turn, and believe me, we tried hard. But anyway, with the Lord's help, we'll have that completed and get it out and thank the Lord for it. It's always a wonder. The Lord helps us in so many ways here, and we have to give Him the thanks, that's for sure. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer right now. He's been good to us, that I know. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, that we can rest in You, Lord. Oh, Lord, that we can give You every burden and every trial. We can give the battles over to You, Lord, and let You work on our behalf. Oh God, for Lord, we serve a risen God, Lord, and You defeated the adversary. Oh God, You defeated him, Lord, and we have victory through Christ.
Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd be here tonight, Lord, that you'd use this to stir our hearts, Lord, to get us to that place where we need to be in you, Jesus. Oh, God, the hour is late, and there's so much confusion out there in this world. Oh, God, the true doctrine is hardly ever taught, Lord. Oh, God, but I pray that you'd use this, God, for your name's sake, for your glory. Oh, Lord, for your kingdom's sake, Lord, that there might be a people, that there might be a remnant. God, oh, Lord, that you might have a people at your coming, Lord. Oh, God, that give you praise and honor and glory, Lord. Oh, God, that are right in your sight and have boldness. Oh, Lord, we need you here, Lord. We ask that you'd bind every contrary spirit, every work of darkness, everything that comes from beneath. Oh, God, we say in Jesus' name, oh, devil, go. Be not here. Give us victory in Jesus' name by the power of the blood. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. And I pray, oh, God, that you would go forth, oh, Lord. Give us victory in our lives, oh, God. Give us joy. Give us peace. Oh, Lord, and fill us with the Holy Ghost. Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost, that our lamps might be trimmed and burning at thy coming, Lord, that we might be right in thy sight. Oh, Lord, that seal of thy approval might be upon our hearts. Oh, God, we give it all to you, Jesus, in your precious name, by the power of the blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We believe you, we honor you, we exalt you, Jesus. There's none like you at all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. Our God is good. Very, very faithful. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Acts 19 tonight. We're going to go there and just see what the Lord teaches us tonight. This is a passage we're familiar with, I do believe, but I just hope it will hit home with every single one of us tonight, and I just hope I can just make everybody realize the need that we all have as individuals to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to title this, Have You Received the Holy Ghost Since You Believed? Taken right there from Acts 19. So let's go there. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Okay, let's go to the first verse here in chapter 19. I'm going to read a portion of Scripture first. And then we'll talk about it and go from there, Lord willing, with his help. Amen. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to stop right there and just kind of go over this. I have lots of scripture. I'm not sure if this is all going to be for tonight or how the Lord's going to do this. I really don't, but we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to believe him because, you know, he's getting us ready for that great and terrible day of the Lord. He's getting us ready. He wants a remnant. He wants a people that are prepared in their hearts and their lamps burning brightly at his coming, and we've got to have faith in spite of all the darts that the devil puts in front of us and all the things that he tries to throw our way, all the discouragement and all the battles that we fight. We've got to have victory. We want to be ready at that moment. He's coming. It's going to be at a time when most people aren't expecting it at all, but we need something from on high. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need that more than we need anything else. People don't realize how desperately that need is to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I just hope somehow tonight, with the help of the Lord, I can make an impact here. Praise the Lord. That wonderful gift from above that the Lord Jesus gave to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So here it starts in Acts, the 19th chapter. And here we have Apollos at Corinth. And
Paul was going to the upper coast of Asia Minor, this is, and he came to Ephesus, and I was kind of forgot to bring those maps up here. But anyway, here we have, we're going to talk about Apollos a moment here. This is quite amazing. In the 18th chapter of Acts, we are introduced to Apollos, and it tells us there at the end of that 18th chapter who he was. It tells us he was a certain Jew. His name was Apollos. He was born at Alexandria, which was, I believe, in Egypt, and that was a place where all the scholars were. And a lot of things that weren't right, of course. And it tells us in that 24th verse that he was an eloquent man. He had ability to speak forth, and also something else. He was mighty in the scriptures. Oh, how beautiful. He had the scriptures in his heart, and he had understanding, obviously. And he came to Ephesus. And it tells us in the next verse that he was instructed in the way of the Lord, and he was fervent in his spirit. He was red hot. He was desirous. He was ambitious. It was burning deep inside of him to share the ways of the Lord. And it says he spake and he taught diligently with a great effort, diligently, the things of the Lord. But he only knew the baptism of John. He had never been introduced to Jesus Christ, and he didn't know what had happened. He somehow had been baptized by John the Baptist, and that was all he knew, it tells us here. And here he is, it tells us, verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. He was on the right track, but he just needed something more. And here comes Aquila and Priscilla, and I like them. It also talks about them in this 18th chapter, and they were friends with Paul. They were tent makers also, and there was that season of time when they also worked with Paul as tent makers. But there was something burning in their hearts. And we hear of Aquila and Priscilla from time to time. This is a man and a wife. And they traveled together, obviously. And we also learn that they had a church in their home there. In 1 Corinthians, that's mentioned, that they had a church in their home at that time. But here they are, and they found this man, Apollos. And here he was. He was trying his very best to declare the ways of the Lord, and he just didn't quite have all the understanding that he needed. But God sent Aquila and Priscilla, and praise the Lord, they were able to take him and expound the word of God more perfectly unto him. And you know what? He received it. He obviously received it, and it says that the Lord was using him. If you look at that 28th verse here that ends that 18th chapter, it says, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So when it came to him that Jesus had come and died and rose again and was Savior and had sent forth the Holy Ghost, he was able to see it in the scripture. And the Lord used him mightily. He was able to convince Jews, which are some of the hardest people to convince back then and perhaps today too. And he was able to show them, he was able to go to the scriptures and plainly show them that Jesus was the Christ. Oh my, that would have been so neat to have heard him expound. But the Lord used this man, and praise the Lord for that. But anyway, here they are, the Apollos, it mentions in the first verse here of chapter 19, he was at Corinth. And Paul was going through the upper coast. He came to Ephesus, and here he found certain disciples. And this is, oh my, this is pretty neat here. And he obviously discovered that they were believers. They believed in God. They had faith in God. But, you know, he wanted to find out, do they have the Holy Ghost yet? And, you know, a lot of times we meet people, yes, they profess to be believers, and they profess that they've accepted Christ and all those kind of things. But have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And, you know, in this case, they were like Apollos. They had faith in God. They believed in God. They were zealous for God. But yet there was something they didn't yet have. They didn't yet have the Holy Ghost. And, of course, in that second verse, it says, Their answer was, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." They had not heard yet. They didn't know the good news. They didn't have the gospel expounded unto them. They didn't know that Jesus had died and rose again and then sent forth his spirit. He gave up that ghost on the cross and then he sent it back on the day of Pentecost. So they didn't know that yet. And then they're asked there in that third verse, and he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And their answer, "Unto John's baptism." They were baptized by John the Baptist. And, you know, that was pretty important. John came doing the work of the Lord. He came to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. He was the messenger. And we read of him in Malachi, the third chapter, and Isaiah, the 40th chapter, how he was sent. It was ordained by God in perfect timing, and everything worked exactly right. He was that forerunner and so important. And God used John mightily. That baptism that he baptized people with was very significant. It was a baptism unto repentance. And let's just look at Matthew 3, just to have that understanding for sure. If we go to Matthew, the third chapter, we'll understand part of John's mission here and his purpose here. And so, of course, he was heavily criticized because, you know, he's a very unusual-looking man. He tells us in the fourth verse of this third chapter of Matthew that his raiment was camel's hair, and he had a leather girdle about his loins, and what he ate was locusts and wild honey. And, you know, it must have been a little strange because he was in the wilderness, as it had been declared in Isaiah 40, verse 3. It talks about how it would be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." He was a forerunner. He was going before Jesus to declare the way. And here he was, and he was causing quite a stir. It tells us in verse 5 here that went out to meet him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. They came to see this man. And it says in verse 6, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So he was preaching repentance and to prepare their hearts, to prepare the people's hearts so they could accept and acknowledge Jesus. So this was happening. There were people that did come, and certainly we know these men here in Acts 19 were among the believers that came and were baptized of John as well as Apollos. So here they are. They were baptized of him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. So it was unto repentance. But there were some that came to him without faith. It says in verse 7, and when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers," you snakes, in other words, "who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Who's warned you to get up and flee? You know, what's in your heart to flee from that wrath to come? Is it within you to get ready? He said, bring therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, let your life line up. Amen. Get ready, repent. Let your life be in accordance to God's word. You bring forth fruits meet for repentance, to show your repentance. And he told them, and John was just very strong. He didn't mince words. He came out and said it. And verse 9 says, "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." It wasn't going to be enough just to be a natural child of Abraham. That wasn't going to get you into heaven. That wasn't going to be fit and suitable. There was going to be more. You're going to have to repent if your life was right with God. And so don't you dare say that we have Abraham to our fathers and think you are okay. And then it was that time, it says, "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." It was time for judgment. This was all preparing the heart for judgment, when that time when the works of men would be judged, and the necessity to bring forth that fruit, to have that fruit to show before the Lord. And you don't want to bring forth bad fruit. That's going to be cast down. That's going to be hewn down and cast into the fire. And then in the 11th verse here in Matthew 3, John explains, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. That's why he was there. He was baptizing, he was immersing them with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh, praise the Lord. There was something that was coming forth. There was one that was coming forth, and he would not just baptize them unto repentance, but he was going to baptize them with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There was going to be a difference in their life when Jesus Christ came on the scene and baptized his children with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And it says, verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Oh, there's that fire that's coming one of these days. And if you're not that good grain, if you're not that wheat that's suitable for the kingdom of God, if you're just chaff, the stuff that was no good, the refuse, the things that nobody wanted, the stuff that flew away, then your works, your life was going to be burned with unquenchable fire, a fire that would not be quenched. Oh my, but here is John. That was his mission. He was baptizing unto repentance, but there was one that was coming after him who baptized them with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Of course, we know that he baptized Jesus, and it was done to fulfill all righteousness. It tells us in this chapter that's why Jesus had to be baptized. And there was a sign that was given to John. He would see the Spirit of God ascend upon the one that was to be sent, the one that he was proclaiming at that time of baptism. And in the book of John tells us of that, how the Spirit of God descended and remained on Jesus Christ. And that was a sign to John the Baptist that this is he that should come. And that is the same one that would baptize with the Holy Ghost. That was all a sign to John. And it was a beautiful moment, I'm sure. It says in ending this chapter 3 of Matthew, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. It wasn't a little dove. It was the Spirit of God. And John was able to see that wonderful thing. And that was a sign to him that this was the Son of God. And then that voice from heaven, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Here he was, Jesus Christ. He was God manifest in the flesh. God was in that body, and he was well pleased. This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved flesh, in other words, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, praise the Lord. It pleased the Father to dwell in Jesus, and all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Jesus, as we know from Colossians. Praise the Lord. But so it was. That was John's mission. He baptized unto repentance. Now going back here to Acts 19, these men were only baptized by John. Verse 4 tells us, then said Paul, John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And that's pretty much what we just read there from Matthew. That was the mission there, that they should believe on he who would come after him. And of course, John declared, you see this in the book of John, that John the Baptist declared, behold the Son of God. Excuse me, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He saw that. He introduced him to the people, and they began to follow him at that point. But these people that Paul was speaking to, when he explained to them that John just barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, and telling them to, they must believe on him that would follow, then they gave heed. And I love their response. I love their response, these men here at Ephesus, these disciples. And it says in verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. There was an instant response there. There was obedience to the gospel. And notice, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, that saving name, that name with the power, that authority that comes from being buried in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they were taking that name upon themselves when they were baptized in that name. And I'm sure the word baptize means to immerse. Greeks will tell you that. This church used to be owned by Greek Orthodox when we bought it years and years ago, and it had been empty for quite some time. At that point, they had all kind of died out, and the few that remained were going to Vondelak, I believe, to worship at that point, and this place was for sale. But anyway, the Lord saved it for us. But anyway, there was a baptismal font in this building at the first, and you know, they explained to us, oh, we immerse. You know, even babies would have to go under, and they explained, well, that's what the word means. It means to immerse. They had that knowledge and insight into the scripture there. So praise the Lord, but that's true. That's what it means. It means to immerse. Of course, we don't baptize babies. They haven't believed yet, and they can't repent, and they're not ready, of course. But, you know, when we hear the gospel call and it talks to our hearts and we're made to repent and get right with the Lord, then we are commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so they were. And, you know, they had already been baptized by John. But that didn't bother them. They understood that they needed to be baptized again. They were not hindered by that. And sometimes that's a stumbling block to people. They might have been baptized many times, but if the name of the Lord Jesus wasn't mentioned, then there's no power and authority in that baptism. It's for naught. And so here we have the need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And these disciples, although they had been baptized unto repentance, realized that they had to take the name of the Lord Jesus upon them. They had to be buried with Christ in those waters of repentance, in those waters of baptism. And praise the Lord, they did this. And then there was something else that they needed. Verse 6 tells us, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Oh, there was something else that had happened. They had to receive the Holy Ghost. And Paul knew this. He simply, at this point, he laid his hands on them, and it says, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and it says they spake with tongues and prophesied. You could tell they had received the Holy Ghost because they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they also prophesied. And it tells that all the men were about 12. There were about 12 of them at this moment that received salvation, that repented and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, it's so important to have the Holy Ghost. Let's just go over to the 8th chapter of Acts for just a little bit here. And I hope this all speaks to our hearts and that we can all realize the great need to be baptized but to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a baptism of the water and then of the Spirit, an immersion of the water and of the Spirit. Born again of the water and of the Spirit, in other words. This 8th chapter of Acts tells us what was happening in Samaria. And we have one of the evangelists that was appointed for that position there, in the early church. His name was Philip, and he's full of faith, obviously, and zealous for the Lord. And here he is. He's going down to a city in Samaria. It tells us in verse 5, and he preached Christ unto them. They were Samaritans, but he felt that in his heart to go there. And it was wonderful, the reception that they gave him, the reception for the gospel. It says in verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. They responded with one accord. The people in that city gave heed. Praise the Lord to the things that Philip spoke of. And the things that they heard and saw, and there were mighty miracles that happened. There was a manifestation of the Spirit of God. It says in verse 7, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, And many were taken with palsies, and they that were lame were healed. There were miracles that were following. And verse 8 says, and there was great joy in that city. Can you imagine being bound all those many years with devils, with evil spirits, and suddenly being released from that? Maybe never have walked in your life and suddenly being healed and able to walk, the blind to see, and those that had palsies being delivered and healed, and whatever, all mighty miracles were happening there in that city of Samaria. And it says there was great joy in that city. But then it tells us about a certain man named Simon. He used to be a sorcerer, and he had bewitched the people in earlier times. And he gave heed too, it tells us. And, you know, he actually was among those that were baptized. It tells us in verse 13 that Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. But I want to go back to verse 12 here and just emphasize a point here. We know that these people of Samaria believed, and they gave heed, and God was doing mighty works. And it tells us in verse 12, but when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So baptism followed their recognizing Jesus Christ, they're receiving the gospel. They were then baptized. And as I just read that 13th verse, Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. But there was something else that was needed here in this instance. There was something not fulfilled. Yes, God was working. He was doing mighty works. They had received Jesus. They had recognized who he was, and they had received that gospel message, and they were baptized as they were commanded to do. But there was something that hadn't happened yet. They had not yet received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And was it important? Do they need to receive it? Was it essential? It tells us in verse 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And verse 16 explains, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And here again, we have it verified. They were baptized in the saving name of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet they had not received the Holy Ghost. They had not yet received it. So here comes Peter and John. This needs to be completed for them to be born again. They need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it tells us in verse 17, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Here it is again, as in the 19th chapter, with the laying on of hands, they received the Holy Ghost. And I love that. That is beautiful. I've seen that happen sometimes in my life. You know, I've seen people who tarried for a long time to receive the Holy Ghost, and that's good. The Lord pours it out, and sometimes you do have to tarry until you receive it. And I love to see that. I want to see that again. I want to see people crying out for the Holy Ghost and tarrying and waiting on the Lord. Oh my, it might take hours, but the Lord will come because he is faithful. Once the conditions are right in your heart and you have that faith towards God, praise the Lord, it will happen. But I've seen it too with the laying on of hands. And that's pretty wonderful. I had the opportunity, I think I was probably a senior in high school, and we were having a revival at that time, and the Lord was working. He was really working. We had prayed mightily before that revival time and asked God to work and save individuals and fill the Holy Ghost, and God was doing that. There were people coming. This revival continued for quite a few weeks, praise the Lord, back in my hometown of Eau Claire. But I did have the great joy. My best friend in high school was a Christian in many ways. She truly was a believer, and we'd worked with her. We'd had Bible studies with her and her sister, Trudy. My sister Sharon and I were just a year and a half in age apart, and Jerry and Trudy were also a year and a half apart, and we were really close. We were close for some, and we studied together. We all loved the Lord, and we had a little travel trailer, and we even had a sleepover, and what did we do? We talked about the Lord and pondered scripture, and shortly after this, these girls came to church with me, and you know, as I said, we were having revival, and you know, they were invited to come forward to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and praise the Lord, they did. They came forward, and with the laying on of hands, they were soon speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. It was so beautiful. I've seen that happen, and there were others in that lineup, and God filled them with the Holy Ghost as hands were laid upon them. And you know what? God's no respecter of persons. What he did back then, he will do today. That's for sure. And here it happened, here in the book of Acts, in the 19th chapter, it happened when Paul laid hands on those 12 men there. And also here in this 8th chapter of Acts, it says, then lay they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came forth, and it was certainly a wonderful thing. It was God coming forth, but you see the importance here. It wasn't going to be complete until they received the Holy Ghost, and we know they spoke in tongues here. Simon, when he saw that the former sorcerer and all, I'm not sure he was really former. I don't think it was out of his heart, according to what happened. He saw the wonderful power of God being displayed, and he thought, I want that power. But, you know, he was just thinking, you know, he'd have to do it of himself, and he offered money for that power. Of course, the word sorcery comes from that thought that you could offer money to gain salvation. Of course, that doesn't work. And, of course, he was soundly rebuked. In verse 19, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You cannot buy our salvation. It's a wonderful free gift of God. And oh my, to think that you could buy it is such an error, such a problem with God. And verse 21 here in this chapter, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. If you think you can buy the gift of God with money, your heart's not right. There was something in Simon's heart that was wrong, and it was leading him astray, and he wasn't going to receive the Holy Ghost with that kind of thought. You know, he was told to repent. Therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. So there was a problem here. But there were many, obviously, that received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it had to be so apparent that someone such as Simon was would offer money for that power. There obviously was that manifestation. It had to be that there was a manifestation of the Holy Ghost at that time in Samaria. And I believe that they spake with tongues and prophesied as they did in Acts the 19th chapter. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the Holy Ghost is not just optional. It's the gift of God. And he has promised, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a promise unto all those that believe. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise the Lord, that wonderful promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. It was for the early church, and it's for us today, as many as the Lord our God shall call, even us who were afar off. Oh, praise the Lord, our God is so good. But there was this tremendous need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and that was Paul's question when he first saw these disciples. He knew that they were disciples of God, that they had faith, and they had repented, obviously. But they needed to receive the Holy Ghost. And so he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And of course, they had not understood it, but he explained it, and they obeyed the gospel. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and then with the laying on of hands, they received the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. And, you know, it didn't happen in the 8th chapter of Acts that the Samaritans received the Holy Ghost out of the water. You know, and I love that. I've seen that happen over here in this church. I've seen people come up out of the water and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I know I just got to think of Brother John there in Colorado. And I recall when he came here and we had opportunity to talk with him on Saturday and pray with him. And then he was baptized the next day on Sunday. And you know what? I could tell there was a response in his heart. I just had this great feeling that he was going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And sure enough, he went down in that water, and he's soon speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave him utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. I am so thankful. That was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity and privilege to witness. Praise the Lord. But the Holy Ghost has been promised. And of course, Jesus told his disciples before he ascended into heaven that they were to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. Let's go to Acts, the first chapter here. And I'm going to look at the third verse here in Acts 1. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. It says in verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And of course, this is speaking of Jesus Christ after his resurrection. He was alive 40 days, and what did he do? He was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, to the believers, to his followers, to his disciples. And this is what he told them. He gave them some special words. This was right before he was going to ascend into heaven, and I'm sure he wanted them to know these things. It was highly important. Verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And then he says that, for John truly baptized with water, but there was that baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. And it says, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Oh, here's this promise. Yes, you've been baptized in water, but oh, there's going to be that baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it's going to happen not many days hence. And so he told them, he said, you go wait for it. You go tarry. You wait for the promise of the Father. Don't leave Jerusalem, he said. He told them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. He had spoken of it. He had told them about the Holy Ghost, and I hope we can go over some of these things that the Lord Jesus shared while he was on earth. But here he is before he ascended, and they don't quite understand it at this point. They always were seeming to look for that natural restoration of the kingdom of Israel. And so they're still a little bit confused here. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said in verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But here it is, there was going to be a spiritual kingdom established. Jesus came to establish a spiritual kingdom. His kingdom was not of this world. He told Pilate, if it was of this world, then should my men fight? But he was there to establish his spiritual kingdom that would touch us in the heart and change our lives spiritually. Oh, that we would never be the same. And verse 8 tells us, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Oh, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So here it is, Jesus giving some final instructions here, telling them what they need to do. They needed to stay right there at Jerusalem, not to depart. And of course, we know they were in the temple. We can gather that from the book of Luke. But anyway, there was that promise. It's going to happen. And they had no idea. what was going to happen, how he was going to fill them with the Holy Ghost. At that point, they couldn't have possibly have known. And you know, you see their ignorance in that question that they asked in verse 6, if, you know, he's going to restore them the kingdom of to Israel, the natural kingdom. But that wasn't the power that the Lord Jesus was going to give them. He was going to give them that power inside to change them and make them his children. Praise the Lord. So they could be born again of the water and not the Spirit. Let's also look at some of the things that Jesus said as he was teaching during his ministry. Let's go to the 4th chapter of John. And there's a lot of scriptures. I think I may not do everything here tonight, but let's go here. Here as we go to John 4. And of course, this chapter deals with that woman of Samaria also, as it does in the 8th chapter of Acts, but you deal with Samaritans, but here it is too, a woman of Samaria. And of course, Jesus begins to talk to her. He's at the well there. It's Jacob's well, and it was about the time of noon, a usual hour of rest. It was the sixth hour, but noontime, and as Jesus was there, he was weary. He was at Jacob's well, and the disciples had gone away to buy meat, it tells us in the 8th verse, but there came this woman from Samaria, and she came to draw water, and Jesus surprised her greatly. He said, "Give me to drink." And, you know, this was something so unusual. She could tell he was a Jew. In verse 9, she says, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." But Jesus was going to use her, oh my, for his kingdom's sake. He knew that there was something in this woman, and she would go tell the others, and oh my, some changes would come about. He was going to be able to expound truth unto these people. And Jesus tells her in verse 10, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Oh, there's something deeper than just the natural water. And the woman, of course, she's puzzled. "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? How can you do it? You don't even have a bucket to draw water from. How are you going to give me water?" And then she said, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" But Jesus said unto her, the 13th verse, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." And he's explaining in the next verse, 14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Oh, he was talking about something deeper than natural water, something that would be a well within and bring forth eternal life in the individuals who would receive it. Those wells of water, they come from Jesus Christ. And of course, it goes on. You know, Jesus tests her at this point and, you know, tells her to go call her husband and come hither. And of course, she wasn't married at that point, but had been married 5 times and was living, obviously, with somebody else. And, you know, she's really, oh my, this is really something. He's telling me everything that I ever did, and perhaps more than is recorded here. And so, verse 19, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And then, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. The Jews believe that you had to worship in Jerusalem. But Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But then it's explained, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Oh, praise the Lord, that time was coming when the true worshipers would not worship in Jerusalem necessarily. They wouldn't have to worship in that mountain or any specific place, but they would worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that's the way the Father, Almighty God, would seek His children to worship Him. And then it's explained, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's expected God's children worship God not only in spirit, but in spirit and in truth. They both go together. They're both absolutely essential. And praise the Lord. The woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. She had an understanding. And then Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Praise the Lord. Jesus was telling her of that living water. Oh, that only He could give, those wells of salvation that you could not get from natural resources by any means. It would have to be from God Almighty. It had to be the Spirit of God coming to dwell in your heart. And then, as we go to the 7th chapter of John, Jesus Christ is also talking again about that living water. Let's look at the 7th chapter of John, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So here Jesus is also foretelling. He's telling them, he's crying out there. It's one of the feast days, the Jewish feast days, and here Jesus is crying out and saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he was talking of the Holy Ghost. It was not yet given. It was for all that would believe upon him. It tells us in this next verse. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. It would happen to those that believe on Jesus Christ. And it's so explicitly explained, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. It had not yet come forth. It says because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He had to go back into the heaven. He had to ascend back into heaven and be glorified before the Holy Ghost could be poured out. That was going to be necessary. And of course, before that, he would die and rise again. All of that had to happen. But he was not yet glorified, so he could not yet pour out of his Spirit. It could not yet happen. But here he is. He's telling them that they that believe in him should receive those wells of living water, those rivers of living water. It should happen. Let's go into the Old Testament here for a little bit to also read of what Isaiah the prophet prophesied, looking at Isaiah 44. And here it is, looking at this chapter in Isaiah 44, verse 1. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. But those that were his, there would be that time when they would be accepted in the sight of God. Oh, there was that time when the Lord God Almighty led the children of Israel into captivity. They had been wayward, of course, and rebellious by all means. And it brought the wrath of God. It brought judgment. But there was going to be a time when they would be reconciled. And here he is talking about it. He's saying, fear not, O Jacob. They had been formed. They were the children of God. They were his children. But here he's saying, fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And wow, it was going to spring up as among the grass. Oh, it was going to flow. It was going to be abundant as willows by the watercourses. Oh my, trees planted by the waters really can grow. Oh, willow by the watercourse is going to be a beautiful tree because it's being fed by water. And if God's children are fed by the living waters, we too can be abundant. We can have that abundant life that Jesus Christ talked about. He said that he came to give us that abundant life. Oh my, praise the Lord. He didn't come to kill and destroy as a thief comes, but he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Psalms also talked about that river. Let's look at Psalms 46 here for a moment. This beautiful passage of scripture here in Psalms 46. And verse 4 says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Here it is, that wonderful scripture talking about that living water that would come and dwell in the lives of God's people, the tabernacles. The tabernacle is a dwelling place. And God would come. He would reserve that privilege of coming to dwell in the holy places of the tabernacles of the Most High, his dwelling places. The children of God, those that he would call, they would become his tabernacle, his dwelling places. He was going to put his spirit in his people, and they would know the Lord. Every one of them, from the greatest to the least, they would all know the Lord. They would all have that privilege of coming before him and knowing him as Lord and Savior. He was going to come to them. Oh, praise the Lord. And they were going to have that privilege. It talks about in Isaiah 30, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, oh, God's people would hear the voice of the Savior. They would hear him talking to their heart, that still small voice that talks to his children. This is the way. This is what's right. Walk ye in it. God would speak to his children as individuals. We would have to necessarily go to a priest for interpretation of the scripture. He was going to put his spirit in all of his children as a gift of the Holy Ghost so that we'd all have the scripture and be able to put it in our heart. He was going to write it in our inward parts, and therefore we would be his people. And he would be our God, no matter if we were Gentile or Jew. If he chose us and called us and filled us with the Holy Ghost, we could have that wonderful privilege of hearing the voice of the Lord speak to our hearts. Oh my, calling us to that place with him. Praise the Lord. Many scriptures speak of those living waters that would flow. Let's also look at Isaiah 35 here for a moment. And here it also prophesies of the coming of Jesus Christ and what would follow. It talks about the wilderness and the solitary place in verse 1 shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. There was going to be a rejoicing because the Savior was coming to restore and redeem. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Oh, they would see it. God's people would see. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Oh, there was that wonderful moment when the Savior would come. And then it says in verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Those living waters would begin to flow as God fills his children with the gift of the Holy Ghost, that infilling. And it says, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Oh, praise the Lord, it's a highway of holiness. You don't get there unless you're living that life, unless the Lord has called you and called you unto salvation and put his Spirit within you. And it says in verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, he would put his Spirit in us so that we might have abundant life, so those rivers of living water might flow within us, so we could be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is so good. There's so many places in Scripture that tells us of the gift of the Holy Ghost. But before I go into those, I would like to go back to Acts for a moment here. I'd like to go this time to the 10th chapter of Acts. We know that, first of all, the Holy Ghost was poured out there in Jerusalem among the 120. And of course, it spread that day of Pentecost, that feast day of Pentecost. By the time they were done, there were many that had received salvation. It says in that second chapter of Acts that there were added unto them about 3,000 souls there in the book of Acts. And of course, so it was among the Jews and proselytes first that the Holy Ghost was outpoured. And then it continued. There was a progression that was needed. We just read the 8th chapter of Acts, portions from the 8th chapter of Acts, and we know that the Holy Ghost was also poured out in Samaria, that the Samaritans also received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we know Philip was the one that came down and initially preached to them. They had embraced the gospel with one accord, and all those miracles, mighty works were done, but it wasn't until Peter and John came that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But there it was, and Peter had the keys. Jesus Christ had given him the keys to the kingdom of God, and I believe it was necessary. He was the one on the day of Pentecost that opened up the door of salvation. He was the one that preached there at that time and told them that they needed to repent and get right with God. It was Peter that brought that forth. And there he was the one that prayed for the Samaritans, he and John, that they might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then here in the 10th chapter of Acts, we find out that another group of people receive the Holy Ghost. And this time, it's Gentile people. We read in that 10th chapter of this devout man, Cornelius. He was a centurion of the Italian band. He was over his 100. He was a centurion. And not only that, he was a devout man that feared God. I'm so thankful there are people in many different, diverse places that fear the Lord. And this centurion feared God. It tells us in the second verse, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. God heard that. God gave him a vision, and he saw the angel of God coming to him, and that angel gave him instructions. There was something that this man needed. He was devout. He feared God. He gave alms. He did everything he knew to do to please the Lord. But the plan of salvation had to be unfolded to him also. And it was time for the Gentiles to receive it. And so that angel of the Lord comes. And in verse 4, and when he looked on him, he was afraid. Usually I notice that's what happens when an angel of God appears to individuals. There's that fear. But what is it, Lord? But the angel said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And he told him what to do. Now send to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. The angel wasn't going to declare it. He was going to have a man declare the gospel to Cornelius. And of course, Cornelius had his household servants and a soldier go down there to Joppa to go get Peter, as the angel had instructed him to do that. And as this is all happening, they're coming to find Peter. There's Peter. He's up on a housetop. It's an hour of prayer. It's the sixth hour, and he's praying. And he's hungry, it tells us in this scripture, in the 10th verse. He's hungry, and it was time to eat. He was hungry to eat just about anything, I think. But just before he was able to do that, while they were making ready, he fell into a trance. The Lord gave him a vision. And, of course, this is a most unusual vision. It says, the heaven opened, he saw, and a certain vessel descended unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, and wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And then, to his amazement, that voice saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Of course, Peter couldn't imagine eating those unclean things. He was Jewish, and there was, you know, no way he was going to defile himself with those kind of things. So he said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. But that voice spake again the second time and said, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this happened thrice. And then the vessel went upward into heaven. And Peter didn't understand what he was seeing. But while he was wondering and contemplating, there was a knock at the door. There was a knock at the door. These men from Cornelius came, and they stood before the gate. And they're asking for Simon. And, you know, Peter's thinking upon this vision, this very unusual vision, but the Holy Ghost inside of him says, behold, three men seek thee. Rise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Oh, praise the Lord. And we know the story that Peter went back with them into Caesarea, and they were waiting for him. Cornelius was waiting for him. He had all his kinsmen and near friends assembled together with him in that home. And at first, when he saw Peter, he falls down to worship him. Oh my, Peter, thank God, says, hey, stand up. I myself also am a man. There in that 26th verse. And then they begin to talk about what's happened, the visions. And Peter is beginning to understand what had happened to him, that vision that the angel of the Lord gave him. So anyway, praise the Lord. In verse 34, Peter opened up his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God was showing him that he was not going to be a respecter of persons in his new covenant. It was going to be for the Jew first and also to the Greek. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Oh, praise the Lord. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And he went on to preach that word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, and we are witnesses of these things. And he went on to preach. But verse 44 tells us, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. He didn't have to have them come up to receive Christ. He didn't have them stand. It wasn't even with the laying on of hands at this point. It was while Peter was yet preaching, and I'm still waiting for this to happen. I am waiting for that moment when there's going to be an outburst of tongues of the Spirit of God as we preach and bring forth God's word. I'm waiting for this. But here it happened, here in the 10th chapter of Acts. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them all which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. It was an amazing thing. They didn't expect that. Peter didn't know what to think. But here they were. It says they were astonished. They just couldn't imagine that God would also pour out of his Spirit upon the Gentile people. But here it is, while he was yet speaking, the Holy Ghost was poured out upon these people. And they could tell. They could tell it wasn't just a quiet, silent thing by any means. There was evidence that came forth. Verse 46 says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They heard them speak with tongues. Oh, praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost fell upon them. And suddenly, didn't matter that they were Gentiles. They weren't relevant to the first covenant, but the Lord had brought forth a second covenant, and it included all that the Lord our God shall call. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful. Our God is no respecter of persons. He is no respecter of persons. He will pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. And that was prophesied in the book of Joel. In the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Praise the Lord. And Peter gave that message there on the day of Pentecost. And he told how your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your servants, your handmaidens, they're all going to show forth the mighty works of God. There's not going to be a respect of persons when that Holy Ghost is poured out upon God's people. It's going to come upon all flesh. And you see that time and time again in the Old Testament, where it was prophesied that God would have another people that would come forth and know him. But it was as the prophet Joel declared, and I'm reading here from Acts, the second chapter, as Peter was preaching there on the day of Pentecost, that mighty manifestation of the gift of the Holy Ghost, as it came upon them, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly that sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire is set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It happened. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, those living waters that Jesus had told them of. It was come now. It came to fill their hearts and soul. Oh my, to change them, to give them power over sin. It had come and it had fallen. And Peter said as he was preaching, he said, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if we're Jew or Greek, if we're male or female. Whatever our background is, we can all come to Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. He said he would pour out of his spirit. And Peter said that which had happened there on the day of Pentecost. This is that. It's happened. It's coming now. It's for you. And of course, as he ended that sermon, and I already quoted you, as they were pricked in their hearts and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And of course, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Oh, praise the Lord. He's included us. We could come boldly before the throne of God, before that throne of mercy. Oh my, that throne of grace to obtain mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. We can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's for his children. It's for all that the Lord our God should call. And in Zechariah, the 10th chapter, it goes, "Ask ye the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one, grass in the fields." Oh, we can ask of the Lord in the time of the latter rain. This is the time of the latter rain. He's here to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You'll just embrace his promise and accept it and cry out to him. He will fill you with the Holy Ghost. It's for you. All that the Lord our God shall call. Let's worship him. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise you, God. Oh, Lord, we exalt you. Oh God, we cry out to you, Lord. Oh God, let there be faith in our hearts. Oh Lord, let those rivers of living water flow. Lord, let them flow upon our thirsty hearts. Oh God. Oh God, let those living waters flow upon us, Jesus. Oh Lord, Jesus. Oh Lord, we beseech thee, Lord. Oh God, we ask you to pour out of your spirit. Oh God, for you said you would pour out of your spirit upon all flesh. Oh God, and we thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We exalt you. Oh, praise the Lord. When you magnify the Lord and lift him up, he will pour out his spirit upon you. Oh, and we praise the Lord. We worship him. We exalt him. There's none like him at all. And we thank God. Oh Lord, he's mighty. He is so wonderful that our Lord Jesus would come and give up the ghost so that we might receive his spirit. So that he would dwell in our hearts, that he would come and dwell in our hearts. He said, "I'm with you, but I shall be in you." And that's what the Holy Ghost is, the Spirit of Jesus living inside of us to change us, to direct us, to show us things to come, to give us that power over sin. Oh, that power to witness, that power to be alive in Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Just worship the Lord, and he will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Worship the Lord, and he will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship you. We praise you. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we cry out for those living waters. Oh, Lord, we cry out for them, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We cry out in Jesus' name. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We worship you, Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't be afraid to cry out to the Lord. Oh, don't be afraid. The gift of the Holy Ghost is the most valuable, wonderful gift you could ever receive. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise Thank God. You, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, to be filled with the Holy Ghost and to have the very Spirit of God in you. To love the things He loves and to hate the things that He hates. He'll give you the increase that you need, the help that you need, the power to overcome, strength to persevere, and a heart to hear truth. Oh, Lord God.
Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord God.
Oh, praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you, God.
If we could go to the chorus book, and here's a song. We could sing that. It's called Give Me Oil for My Lamp. And if we could just sing that, we sure need that oil of the Holy Ghost. We sure need that every day, don't we?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
It's not a cliche. It's not something that sound religious or spiritual, but it's a very real thing that we need. We need the Holy Ghost to survive, to make it into heaven. We need that.
Oh, praise you, Jesus.
Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the Lord of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Oh, glory to God. Oh, be dismissed unto prayer and seek the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. hear the message. Oh, shrugs are every wicked thought at me.
Oh, boy. I haven't had a battle this morning. Oh, man. I didn't even. I was telling Sam that.
Life?
Yeah.
You say what now?
Well, I was tired for one thing. I was fighting all night long. And
you know, you said you didn't get much sleep.
Yeah, and I don't even want to get up there tonight. You know, I said, boy. How are you doing?
Yeah. Well, you must have been tired. Yeah. I'm thinking about going out there.
Are you really?
3 days. I think I've had craving salad with eggnog right now. I think I'm gonna have those two oranges that I had saved up in the morning. Boy, sure. Yeah, I think I
don't have any salad.
Yeah. You could,
huh?
Okay. We have any other items on there?
Yeah.